Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome back, and thank you. Thank you for joining me for episode 15. That was my dog's ears. Let me tell you that it's raining right now. We have like a warning going on. So I'm sure all of you that have dogs, they do the same stinking thing. Like he's running around, scared, right by my feet. And so the both of them are the most weeniest little dogs ever when it rains or it thunderstorms. So I'm sure you guys can feel me on this. Anyways, it is a fabulous episode because we have a Q&A today. Last week, I put a golden mic on our Instagram and Facebook page. And when you see that golden mic of our logo, I want y'all to write down any questions you have. And maybe it's something private that you'd rather DM me. Totally fine. But I kind of want to have a little bit more of these where you have any kind of questions. Maybe it's specifically for somebody. I can get them on. So more than likely, I have to put that out there. A lot of people are very open to being on the show. I've reached out to a lot of people who, you know, they're just not interested in it. And I can understand they've probably done tons of podcasts. But my goal is to gather some of the most willing and awesome people that might be able to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. And I might be something physically, it might be mentally. But today we have one of the fabulous people that I know, and that is Julia Anto. And if you haven't heard of Julia, she was in our episode 5 before. Wonderful, wonderful human being who is my coach. And we really get to sit down and answer some questions. So today that's going to be it. And of course, I just want to tell you that this episode is brought by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, out of Huntsville, Alabama, where we live a little better through strength. So if you're interested in training, have people in the area who are looking for strength training, powerlifting, we actually have a lot of beginners to intermediate people. We try to just grow strength training in our community, especially through women, with women as well. And also, if you guys like the show, please leave a review. And I know that Spotify, you can't leave a review, but if you can't there, head over to our Facebook page and leave a review there. I would love to see your feedback. And that always helps us grow, helps us gain more traction, get more people on the show, and keep us going strong. So anytime you're listening, you know, take a picture. I will repost it. I just love hearing your feedback, to be honest. And I want to hear your honest feedback. So if you have any ideas for the show, you let me know. And let's get into it with Julia. I'm so stoked to do this because I think it was like, you know, I wanted to have more Q&A, but it definitely has to be one of those things where people are asking questions, you know? And yeah. So I think now we have enough traction where people are answering or, you know, responding back and having questions. So just for our listeners, we have Julia here. I probably already did an intro talking about you, but one of the best coaches I know. She's also my coach. She's also an elite FTS coach. She's like the dandata of coaches right now in my mind. So best person to bring on to talk about training. And I think it was wonderful because some of the questions even talk about bodybuilding, which is like, mm-hmm. What are the odds that would happen? Right. Mm-hmm. But I would like to get to the first question. Yes. And let's actually go with the last question, which was one that I think is very important. But Emiko out in Hawaii asked I know this is a stupid question and it's not a stupid question, is embarrassed to ask, but what is conjugate? So maybe you can break down what is conjugate, since that is what you choose for programming, right?
Yeah, a lot of the times, yeah, and that's not a stupid question. Yep. And it is a word that has been getting thrown out more often. And it was funny because when I read that question last night and I was in the shower and I was thinking about, you know, kind of how to answer it and what to say, and I thought about it and I was like, man, 18 years ago, when I really started getting into powerlifting, had first met Dave Tate, had, you know, trained on and off at Westside, other than Louie, nobody really threw the term conjugate around. Hmm. Back in the early 2000s of powerlifting, if anybody was training with a conjugate style, they would say, I'm training Westside style. That's what it was known as. And right. So whenever by somebody said, oh, I train a West Side program, you knew what the gist of it was. So I was like, oh, okay. And then of course everybody would say, well, you don't train West Side unless you train at West Side.
Yes, and so I think that's the next thing, right? You're like, no, it's not West Side if you're not at West Side.
Right, exactly. And so over the years though, as social media blossomed and more science stuff started to come out and more coaches started to educate via social media, then the word, I think, started to really come about a little bit more on what that type of training was called. And so again, this is my experience from the early days of learning West Side type or conjugate style training. And what it really breaks down to in very simple terms is it takes all of the aspects of strength and you train them at the same time. So for people who aren't aware, you can break training up into just a hypertrophy phase or just a strength phase or just a maybe a GPP or conditioning phase. And so most would call that maybe block style training where you have certain blocks. Conjugate style was designed to take all of the aspects of strength and train them simultaneously because as strength athletes, we need all those qualities. So first and foremost, conjugate training had some type of what we would call max effort movement. So think heavy, right? Heavy, typically it was known as heavy singles. Sometimes we would do heavy doubles, maybe even heavy triples, or maybe even if you were newer to training, you might do a heavy set of five. The whole point for max effort was to strain, to get under a heavy load and to really quote unquote struggle with it. Right. And that helps, as you know, that helps us to,
Oh yes, I know it.
Our body is learning motor patterns. It's learning how to recruit as many muscle fibers as possible. Yeah. And so that's the max effort movements. We would do that for, you would do that for your lower body days and your upper body days. Another aspect of strength then was dynamic movements or speed movements. Right. So in the powerlifting world, we would train our lifts, squat, bench, and deadlift with a speed type of action, something around roughly 50-ish%, and you're trying to move the weight as fast as possible. And so that's obviously developing a very different quality of strength. Yep. And so it's designed to help us to move a light to moderate load fast.
Right. And I think this is always an interesting one because people, I think, in strength sports can grasp or that are learning about strength sports can grasp, oh, I got to lift something heavy.
Right.
But then lifting something light, relatively light for fast, sometimes that whole concept doesn't really connect, right? Like to me, I was like, why would you do that when I first, you know, started researching? Like, why would you want to move it fast? Well, you move it faster, you're going to be able to move a heavier weight. And that's all part of the strength curve too, as you're talking about, right? So we're talking about the strength curve. We're trying to build it in a certain way.
Yeah. Right, so. And the hard part is, yeah. And with newer people, sometimes you think, oh, like bench press, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. Yeah. It's so light. I don't feel anything, yeah. Right? And it really does take a little bit of a, there's a learning curve behind it. Mm-hmm. But it is an important aspect because like you said, if you can learn to move those lighter weights fast, now when you get under a heavy load, your body is trying to produce the same amount of force and hopefully be able to initiate enough speed to get through those sticking points under your heavy weight.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to finish off our question, the last portion of strength is what we would call the repetition method. So for most of us lifters, that's your secondary work, that's your accessories, that's where you build your weak points. So it's kind of everything that comes later in the workout would fall under repetition work. So it could be, you know, anywhere from 8 to 20+ reps, depending on your. So taking all of those three aspects, we train them simultaneously throughout the course of a week. And like you said, it kind of waves in and out depending on where you are in your training cycle. But those are the main aspects of the conjugate training system.
Yep, exactly. And I think conjugate itself means to group together. The word conjugate. So we're trying to group. And when you're picking your accessories, it's also important to pick things that are going to help your lifts. So you're kind of not necessarily just picking like, all right, I'm just going to do biceps. I'm going to do triceps. I'm going to do all these things. You kind of as you get deeper into programming, you want to program things that are your weakness. So maybe you're new and everything's weak. So maybe you want to go with the basic big moves and so the things that will just help you overall. And then as you start progressing, you will notice that there are going to be other areas that you're weaker in. Maybe it's right at the very last end of your lockout, or if it's really just in the beginning of your chest. So that's where all these accessory movements with blocks or other things like that will come into play, because then it can really help out those parts of the movement. And I love conjugate. I know you've used it your whole, you know, your whole training career. And I started conjugate a few years ago, and I've talked about that in the podcast. But I remember when I first started, it was like a learn the, because I never really like trained fast and thought about it, you know. I never used bands and chains prior to that. And that's another aspect of conjugate training, I guess you could say, that's accommodating resistance. So that's also trying to change the weight as you're moving through the lift. And that has been known to help increase your strength in certain areas. So it just depends on what you want or what you need, I guess you could say. But I remember when I first started using conjugate, I was like, this is awesome. But it was weird in the beginning.
Very different.
Yes. Yep. Very different to kind of like push through a sticking point at the top of a band or something, you know, and, or lock out when you've got chains and it flies up and then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, I can't lock it out. That's definitely, I enjoyed it. I think that I really enjoyed it because it was sort of, you know, fun almost, you know, you just kind of have all different exercises.
It is different. Yeah. And a lot of people do like it because it does allow, some variety within training, which, some people really enjoy. So, newer, you know, beginners who might benefit more from sticking with movements for a longer period of time. But as you kind of get past that beginner stage, it does offer some variety and can, you know, can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think one thing that was different for me was always using a different kind of bar or a different kind of, you know, cause for so long, it's like you groove that motor pattern. You want to keep using the same, you want to, and getting away from always straight bar benching. Right. I mean, that was like a big thing for me. I was like, oh, okay. So I always did dumbbell, but you're telling me I'm going to work on my main exercise, but then now I'm using a Cambered bar, you know, or something like that.
Exactly.
And I think that that's a big difference when it comes to conjugate training and how they do that.
Right. Well, and I think too, is that when people who first get into strength sports, it's very easy, like you said, to stick with that movement and that bar. Right. And we think that in order to improve my bench press, I need to bench press a lot. I need to bench press more often, meaning. Yeah. And what happens is eventually, yes, it may go up week by week. Eventually, guess what's going to happen? You're going to hit a point to where you're stuck. Yep. Or maybe you actually go backwards and you quote unquote get weaker, or you're not able to hit those numbers again. Then people go, well, what do I do? Maybe I should bench 2 times a week, maybe 3 times a week. And then they think that more is better. And that's really that point when you get to it where maybe doing that same motor pattern isn't what your body needs. And it hits that sticking point and it stalls. And that's when you need to find new exercises and readjust. So that can be kind of good for people who have been doing the same program or the same, literally just bench pressing for years and to transition into something different.
Yeah. I would say that if somebody is, whoever's listening, if you guys are interested in conjugate, I would say that I would recommend finding a coach. You know, Julia and her husband do online coaching, because programming for with conjugate, unless you're following some template and you have an idea, I think it's a little complicated to kind of, you know,
it can be.
It can be in the beginning. So if you're new and you want to try it, I would recommend you go with somebody who's been using conjugate for a very long time. They know how to program. They know what would fit for you and how to implement it into those max effort and dynamic effort days. Because I was like lost the first, I was like, thank goodness for Susan, because like, like I remember first looking at it, like, what the hell, dude? Like, this is crazy. Like these, like I would have never teamed those up together. Why are those together? You know? So it was interesting to see how she laid it out. And now it's easy because they all kind of look the same, you know, like in the, they're
the big umbrella template.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can get it. The big picture. Yep. All right, not on to the next question. We have Miss Megan Elizabeth Lifts, and she's out of the UK. She's like totally loves the show. She messaged me like, she says she doesn't have a lot of people around her that, you know, a lot of women in powerlifting. So she looks forward to it. So I just want to give a little shout out. Yeah, so she was the one that said, I suffer so bad from pre-comp nerves in the week running up to a meet. I convinced myself I've forgotten how to lift. Any advice on dealing with them would be amazing. And Miss Randy, Island Randy, she said visualization really helps me focus on what you want to happen instead of what you don't. And she had said, well, thank you. I didn't think about that. But is there anything, any kind of advice that you would give to that?
Well, it's funny because before I read the response to that, I was thinking the same thing, is that it's a learning thing, is that learning to, because we can let those nerves and we can think about it in a way that overly excites us and gets us nervous, or we can think about it in a way that's calming and more focused and relaxed. And so I think that definitely takes practice, but I was going to go the kind of the visualization route, when I read that response. So that's kind of where I was headed with that answer.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think the same thing. Like, I think once you get maybe your first or second out of the way, then you have a better idea of how it's going to roll. And then you can prepare. I think for me, when I get my nerves, I think I have to kind of just, I think I do this with my life all the time, is just let it go. Like, you know, where are the nerves coming from? The nerves coming because I'm performing in front of people, or am I afraid I'm not going to hit my lifts, or am I going to let people down? Is it those kind of things in there?
Very true.
And, you know, it's, I have to think then, let me just, I really do have to do sort of a visualization and self, not positive self affirmations, but sort of talking to myself, you know?
Well, yeah. You have to tell yourself, I've been training for this for 3, 4, 5 months. I know what I'm doing.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I have to talk to myself, like, okay, what are my cues in my brain? And I repeat them over, usually headphones in before I have to go on. I try, because I'm so talkative that I will talk to everybody. And then I force myself to stop talking, put my headphones on and almost peace out from everybody and get in my zone, because otherwise I'm too, and this has happened to me in the past because I lived and learned, but I've been too, like, you know, da, 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 da. And this is how I was at shows. So like at shows, I'd be like, all just, you know, but it's different when you have to lift. It's totally different.
Very mindset. Different.
Very different. So I've learned to kind of just focus myself right before, especially a couple minutes before when I'm a couple out, and gather myself, think of what I got to do and live in that moment and not think about other things.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because I honestly don't even know how many meets I've done over the years, but I've gotten to the point in my career where this last meet we did in December, I was kind of like you, where I was like, you know what, when I am not five people out from my lift, I'm going to enjoy talking to the person who's getting ready to go, cheering for that person, because I think sometimes we overthink and we overfocus and we overvisualize that now you are literally stressing yourself out. So when you can, allow yourself to come off, talk to the other competitors, like have some fun with your, you know, teammates or whoever you're there with. And then when you see your five or six out, then you can start to earbuds in and focus. And I think that there's kind of that balance between not letting yourself get overly stimulated.
I agree. And that's definitely, sometimes I feed off of the energy. And then after bench, I am exhausted because I'm just not even just the lifts. It's like everything else that goes with it, because your adrenaline is just pumping. Mm-hmm. And I normally take a nap after bench. After bench, I'll put like the headphones in, glasses, so nobody fucks with me. And then I lay down and I take a little like 20-30 minute nap. And then I'm good to go. And then I actually take my pre-workout after for my deadlift, because if I take it in the morning, I'm all jacked. Like, it's just no good. I can't do that.
And then
twice.
You have nothing at the end of the day.
Yes.
You're like me.
That's so funny. I was like, regroup. But yeah, I guess that would be our advice as to calming the nerves.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. We also have the Lifting Lutheran. This guy is so, I love that name. In your opinion, what are the top four powerlifting federations out there, and what are the differences between them?
Whoa.
I know. So I am going to say I have top three. I don't know what would be the top four. And I'm basing this off of popularity. So no special interest in myself or anything else. I'm basing this off of who brings in the most moolah. Let's be real. USAPL brings in the most money when we're talking about federations. I would have to say that it would probably be USAPL, USPA, SPF. And I'm not sure who, I mean, WPO is a new one that's come, I mean, not new, but I mean, they're of the newer, I guess. Who do you live with?
So WPO is actually very old. Now,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. WPO, and WPO is a it's kind of a bringing a bunch of other kind of a bunch of federations together into one. So you can qualify under many federations to get to the WPO. The other one that I would bring up, and maybe it's because it's very popular here in the Midwest, yep. Is the APF.
Yes.
It's not, I don't know if it's very West Coast or East Coast, but it is very popular here in the Midwest, and they do a great job. Now, back in the day, early 2000s, APF was like one of the main national, like big time national meets that people would go to and compete at. So I enjoy that one. I think the guys and girls in our area that run APF meets do a fantastic job. Some of the differences, and this is important because you do need to know what you're getting into with these different federations. USAPL is more of a stricter federation.
I would say that.
The rules tend to be just a little bit stricter as far as depth or pausing on the bench press. Some people may say it's not as fun. They are loosening up a little bit where they're playing music and things like that, but it's typically, it's very just kind of strict and straightforward.
Yeah. They're also they are drug-free.
Correct.
Drug-free federation too. So that's going to be a big difference for some of these.
Say drug, they are a drug-tested
federation. I say there is a difference. A drug-free and a drug-tested is, well, yes. I guess that's an opinion, right? But yes, it's a drug-tested federation.
Now, SPF, on the other hand, is, I mean, kind of a complete opposite. That was another one where years ago it tended to be a little bit more of the geared and equipped powerlifters would compete in the SPF. Obviously, you can still compete raw there. I would say their judging is a little bit more, I don't want to say relaxed, just not as, you don't have to be 5 inches below parallel or anything like that. So it's pretty... I guess lax would be the word.
They allow you to wear hats. You don't have to wear a shirt when you're like things like that. You don't have to wear a shirt when you're squatting. They also squat out of a monolift, which USAPL does not. You have to walk it out.
I mean, those are some things too. We do have to talk about, because even USAPL does not use a deadlift bar. They just use a power bar for everything. So those are all the things that you need to take into consideration. So biggest thing, I think you're right on those. I do think that is it USPA or is that the one? One of them is really popular out west.
That's USPA.
So definitely look into those. Those are great federations, but by all means, look in the rule book and see what their, you know, what their rules are.
Yep. Yeah. I think it is dependent on where you're at, because you're right. APF, and I totally forgot. I mean, that's more in your area. SPF is in mine because I'm in Alabama. Right. Missouri. SPF is pretty popular out here. USPA is getting bigger, and so is, I think USAPL is the biggest on the around this area.
Probably national stuff, yeah.
I think that that's going to be the biggest difference. If you choose a meet, I would say you need to look into, all right, what type of federation that is, what they call for, and if you look in the rule book, it'll give you everything. But you could even probably ask somebody if you know somebody in your area who competes in that federation. They would probably be able to help you out so much more. I mean, it's just so much easier. But I would say that the money is going to be the next thing. So some of maybe the smaller ones, maybe SPF might be a little bit less expensive for a yearly membership or something like that.
RPS is another one that is, you don't need a yearly membership. Again, I would say as far as judging goes, it tends to probably fall more on the SPF side of like a little bit more relaxed judge. It's a great meet for beginners and intermediates to lift in, because they just do a good job of supporting and welcoming all kinds of lifters in. So that's another decent federation.
I totally agree on that. Yeah. Yep. So I think that when it starts getting to like, if you like to wrap or you like to use knee sleeves, like I know, I think it might be APF and SPF that allows you like 3 meters to wrap versus 2.5. And what that means is you're going to get a couple more wraps around your knees, which might give you more bounce out of the hole. Those little things like that. It's like that's getting like, I guess, splitting hairs at that point. So you're just trying to enter a meet and you don't want to just, I would look at that. It is some sort of bigger name company. So my very first meet was a guy made, he was starting his own federation. I had no freaking clue. Okay. No fucking clue. He was starting his own federation.
Give me $50 and you can lift some weights.
That's exactly what happened. And we all in our area, we didn't have USPA yet. Actually, USPA came out a little after that, but we were at at the gym I worked at. And, you know, yeah, it was so janky, dude. Just everything about it was janky now that I know, you know, it's just so funny. But it was a first meet that was kind of like a small.
But you got to experience what a meet is like.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And really, he was the only judge. So it's like one of those ones where maybe there was somebody else. I don't think so. It was probably only him. I got a nice little trophy. I did pretty good, you know, whatever. But
got some nerves out.
Yeah, I got some nerves out. And I did feel more confident after that. So I would say that if you're going to really do it legit like that, that's, you know, it would be good to go with one of those ones that we did mention.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So Chels Fit, my girl out in Jersey, she said, any suggestions on transitioning mindset from bodybuilding mentality to powerlifting, as well as female triad, which I'm not sure what that means, and finding balance? Sorry, this is a huge question.
Well, there's a lot there. So switching mentalities, that can be tough because as you know, it is a different training mindset.
Yeah.
When you're getting under a bar to lift heavy and lift it once,
yeah.
versus getting under to do 20 reps or whatever it is you're doing, I think it takes a little practice and a little understanding of what the long-term goal is to be able to move weight.
Right.
Not necessarily, I think sometimes people who kind of make that transition, they go, oh, well, I'm only doing one rep or three reps. I don't feel my muscles working. I mean, I don't feel a burn or anything. And and that can be a difficult kind of transition because it feels very different.
Totally. Totally. And I think maybe the question too would be like, what is it about, what are you struggling with? Are you struggling with the feeling of the training itself? Like you're not doing enough, or are you struggling with the way you look? Cause it doesn't, you don't look like bodybuilding. I was trying to dissect that. Like, is it, because I think with me, like when I started transitioning, I said, fuck it. But at the same time, I still was like, I miss having a six pack. I miss having, you know, like a more visible muscle. Cause I just, I miss looking like you. Let's put it that way. Right. But I don't carry myself that lean all the time. And it's harder for me to stay that lean.
Right.
So it was a struggle mentally with being okay with that. I think that was for me, my transition. And I think it has to go back to like what you're saying. Like you have to kind of think, all right, what's our goal here? What are we trying to do? What is your purpose for doing powerlifting versus not continuing bodybuilding?
Right. And you're right. And you do have to be okay for that short time. Even if it is doing powerlifting for a period of time to maybe get stronger or build some, you know, I don't know, thicker muscle and then go back to bodybuilding, you still have to be able to say, cause I know for me, when I was bodybuilding, man, my shoulders were like
huge
and like,
huge.
Well, and you know, and they've shrunk back down, and I have to be okay with that. And so, like you said, it's just more of a knowing what that end goal is of that training cycle.
What is the female triad? What is that?
So the female triad has to do with some of the things that happen when there is eating disorders present. So eating disorders, especially obviously in young females, typically there is a loss of your menstrual cycle, low bone density. Mm. And then the third one is, back when I was in school, they defined it as like, I don't remember. I think it was just like an energy, like a low energy balance or something like that. So, but I do know that the main two were low bone density and loss of a menstrual cycle. So and I can kind of relate to this, and I don't know, maybe you can too. There was a period where I was even just getting started into powerlifting, but I was still very concerned about, you know, the way I looked. And I wasn't necessarily eating very well, and I was doing way more cardio than I should have been, and I lost my period for several months there. So I can kind of relate to that. Now, her question was what in regards to that?
She just said finding this powerlifting as well as female triad and finding balance. Sorry, this is a huge question. So maybe she's struggling with that right now, and I don't know. It almost sounds like maybe it's like a health thing. Like if you're struggling with being healthy and then being lean, one of those.
Well, and she mentioned powerlifting too. And that's kind of what I went through in my early college days was wanting to be a powerlifter and wanting to be strong. But I, at the time, my brain was still struggling with that body image. Yeah. And so, as you know, being a powerlifter and being as strong as hell and doing a lot of cardio do not really go well together, mm-hmm. or under eating don't really go well together. And mm-hmm. so they clash, and that's, and so now you end up with, you know, messed up, you know, periods and that whole medical issue. So maybe that is what she's struggling with. So, man, this could probably be a whole podcast.
Right. Yeah. So she said, this is a huge question. Yeah. That might be something in the future. I do feel like, I think for me, when I kind of got to a tipping point where my last show I was doing, you know, I had, I think, around 1,000 to 1,100 calories. I was doing almost 3 hours of cardio. My body just wasn't changing anymore. I had been dieting for so long. Mm-hmm. It was not looking good. And, you know, everything was going downhill. And then I got on stage, took second, but I really shouldn't have. Like, had I been against better people, I wouldn't have ever placed.
Yeah.
And after that, I had like a talk with myself, like, what I didn't have my period. I was tired all the time. Mm-hmm. I was suffering just emotionally and, you know, mentally, and that, you know, that my kids have to suffer because of that, to a point. I mean, mm-hmm. all of that took its toll, and I had to sit back and have a real conversation with myself. You know, what am I doing this for? You know, is it, mm-hmm. this is not a healthy life. This is not what I had planned. This is why I started fitness in the first place. So I think maybe it has to have that conversation with yourself. If you're not having your period, if you are having low bone density and there's other health issues that are happening, but you continue to do the fitness or the things that are making that still happen, that's a conversation you need to have with yourself. And you need to be very real and honest as to what might be happening here in your brain that's allowing you to just keep doing that, even though you know that that's not probably the right choice.
Right.
That's where
having somebody to confide in that you can go to say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. You know, I still find myself wanting to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do cardio because I'm afraid of gaining weight, or I'm afraid of, you know, what's going to happen with my body. If I get stronger, am I going to, you know, look like a block instead, you know? And we all go through those stages like that. And so I would encourage her to, like you said, have a conversation with herself, reach out to somebody. And if it does become, you know, my concern would be any other medical issues that arise out of that. So by all means, you know, kind of seek out professional help. And if you don't know, I would, you know, reach out to one of us. We're not doctors, but we can certainly, I would be more than happy to, you know, find somebody for her in her area to, you know, to reach out to. So,
wonderful.
And I think we all get to a point to where we do end up reaching that point. And then we, as we get older, we get wiser. And then we say, you know what? My body right now is awesome the way that it is.
Yeah.
And, feeling good and being able to function and being able to have fun with your kids and your family ends up being so much more important than walking around with a six pack. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've learned to disengage and really not compare as much as I used to, especially when I was bodybuilding. It was a lot more comparison because you're like, she's got 5 kids. Why can't I can't, you know, like, be one of those things where like, you can't use the mom excuse. All your friends have mom. They're all moms and they have multiple kids and they have 6 pack kids. Like, so that's another comparison that I would have. And then I think once I started just focusing on performance, that was easier for me to kind of let go of that, where I'm like, all right, I'm performing. I may not be the strongest, but I'm okay with that. And that was, you know, I'm always getting stronger. So that was always something that I think helped me transition. But Julia, this was great. Short and sweet. That was it. I love it. I'm going to do this every month. I'll bring you on. And it'd be very cool. And I expect to have more and more as we go on. I did have one more on my Facebook. And for some whatever reason, I couldn't find it. She was asking about training. I can't even remember what it was. It was something.
Aww.
Yeah. I don't know if I like cleared it on accident. You know, when you. Yeah. So I couldn't find it. I was like, dang it. Anyways, you have a wonderful day. And thank you so much for joining me.